Last week, I spoke about baptism. And I wanted to convey the message that through baptism, we begin to share in the divine life. And we share in the divine life because we are brought into a unity, to a oneness with Christ Jesus. St. Paul teaches us in his letter to the Corinthians that through baptism, we become members of the body of Christ. We are incorporated into Christ Jesus. Today I'd like to speak about Eucharist, because Eucharist is the sacrament that constantly strengthens and deepens the life of the Lord Jesus within us. That oneness that begins in baptism, that is constantly strengthened and made deeper through the reception of the sacrament of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin by going to the first reading. That first reading is Moses speaking to the people right before they are to cross over the Jordan River into what they called the Promised Land, the land that God had promised to Abraham and to his descendants, that land they had left when Joseph was taken a slave into Egypt, and then later, as governor of Egypt, brought his family there. But after a time of slavery in Egypt, they were going back to the Promised Land, and they had journeyed 40 years, and Moses knew that he was not to enter, but that he would die. And so he says to the people, remember how for 40 years now, the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert. Why does he want them to remember? He wants them to remember so that they do not forget the extraordinary deeds that their God had done for them, so that they would not forget his love and his mercy and his care and his kindness. Moses wants them to remember so that they will remain faithful to the Lord their God. For us who live in the time after Christ, we also want to remember what Moses did. And yet we remember it in just a little bit different way. We remember it not just as something that happened way back there, but we remember it as a metaphor of our own lives. Just as those ancient Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt and brought into the Promised Land and had a long and difficult journey in the process, we too are making a journey. We make a journey not physically with our bodies, but on a deeper level. We journey from the slavery of sin into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. We journey from a life caught up in our own selfishness and our own pride, and we move into that mystery of Christ Jesus, where we learn to love and to give ourselves in service to one another, where we get caught up, as I said earlier, in the very life of God himself. If we stop and think about it, all of us understand that slavery of sin. It is the slavery of our selfishness. It is the slavery of sometimes thinking only what I want and what I need. It can be the slavery of our pride, or it can be the slavery of our greed, where we want more and more and more and more. Or it can be the slavery of lust, or the slavery of deception. And we know once we get caught into some of those patterns, it's not easy to break out of them. And sometimes even when we start that journey of conversion, we find ourselves wanting to move back. Remember the story of those ancient Israelites? After they left Egypt, they began to grumble. They began to say, "Why didn't you leave us back there? We had good food back there. Here we have miserable food." Even though they hated the slavery, it was more comfortable to them. And that happens to us sometimes. We may know that sin entraps us, selfishness wraps us up. And yet, breaking away from it can be a very difficult journey for us. And we sometimes just want to go back to where we felt comfortable, where we felt at home. In that journey that those ancient Israelites took, they murmured for bread. And they murmured for something to drink. And so God fed them. The scriptures tell us that he gave them water from the rock. The most improbable place to find water. And he showered down on them every morning bread from the heavens, manna. He taught them, God did, their dependence upon him. Because the very thing that sustained their lives, they could not get on their own. He taught them that everything was absolutely, totally dependent upon him. The Eucharist is that for us. It is our bread for the journey. It is our bread and our drink that nourishes us, gives us strength, that tells us that everything we have and everything we are in the spiritual life comes to us from God. Jesus alludes to that in the gospel reading. He says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven, unlike your ancestors who ate and still died," referring to those ancient Israelites. "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." And so we say and we believe that this is the bread of eternal life. You know, the church has always highly valued the Eucharist. That second reading today from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, probably written not much more, or maybe even a little less, than 30 years after the Last Supper. And notice what he says. "The cup of blessing we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" A little later in that same letter, Paul goes on to talk about those who eat and drink of the Eucharist without recognizing the body, he says, eat and drink, a condemnation to themselves. In other words, when we approach that Eucharist, we must always approach it, deeply aware of what we are to receive, very ready to be caught up, to be incorporated into the body of Christ, to become ever deeper members of Christ's body. The church protects the Eucharist in many ways. First of all, you can only receive it if you have been baptized. It is bread for one who has already began the journey. And then it tells us we are to abstain from the Eucharist if our lifestyle is such that we are not living in unity with Christ Jesus. If we are caught up and patterns of serious sin. If we are not ready to break from those patterns, we are to keep ourselves from the bread and the cup of the Eucharist, because it would be a lie. It would be a lie to come up and receive the body and blood of Christ, to say, "I want to live in unity with him," And yet in my life, I am not living in that unity. But also, when we do receive, we are to take caution that we not receive just out of some habit, some custom, but that we must have within us that yearning, that desire to become more and more one with the Lord Jesus Christ, who poured out his life for us. I want to go back to that second reading for just a moment, as Paul adds something very important. He says, because the loaf of bread is one, which, by the way, is why I always use a large host, that symbol of that one body being broken and shared. We, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. That Eucharist not only draws us into unity with Christ Jesus, who reigns in heaven, but it draws us into unity with one another because we are the body of Christ. And therefore, if I come to the Eucharist, I must have that yearning, that desire, that willingness to live in unity with the fellow members of Christ's body, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their racial background, regardless of their culture or language. We are being drawn into the one body of Christ because we share the one bread. We drink of the one cup. I began by talking about remembering. I would like to end with remembering. Like those ancient Israelites, we remember. But more than anything, we remember what Christ did for us. How he gave his life for us on the cross. How he died for us and rose to new life so that we might live forever. We remember that every time we gather for Eucharist. But it's not just a remembering of something that happened 2,000 years ago. We believe, our church has taught through the centuries, that every time we gather to celebrate this Eucharist, Christ is present here among us, doing what he did on the cross, not dying again, but in one moment of eternally giving himself to the Father for us, continually offering the gift of himself for us so that we may be caught up with him. We might offer our lives to the Father in union with him. We remember so that we can become part of him. We can share in the great mystery of his sacrifice on the cross, and we can be nourished at the table of his body and blood.